Hey everyone, this is Chris, and I'm bringing you a brand new segment on Bedhead the Morning Show on punkradiocast.com. It's going to be called The Grind, and let me just take a quick little second here to tell you what it is. Basically, I'll be catching up with bands when they tour through Western Canada, and sitting down, doing some interviews, just seeing how things are going and what's happening, what's new with them. And also, I'm going to try to keep the PRC listeners out in Western Canada updated on what shows will be coming through your area. I'm just sitting here with Medicine Hat's melodic punk rockers, One Shot Left, who have just finished playing their show at Broken City in Calgary, Alberta. I'm sitting here in their tour van, and I'll just get you guys to say hello, and let's get this thing started.
How's it going, everybody?
I'm having a good time here.
We're having a blast.
It's pretty nice. Hey, cyberpunk.
One Shot Left has been together for about 10 years now. How have things been going for you guys?
It's working out all right.
No, it's going really good, I think. We've had some problems with members leaving and coming and going and everything, but overall, it's been a little fun, long haul, but just keep on going, and we love doing it, so we're not going to quit doing it at all.
Now, I've noticed you've got Corey here. He's playing bass for you. He played bass for you tonight, but he is not your normal bassist. What's going on with Justin?
Well, Justin's gonna move to Chile. He's
or Asia.
Or yeah, either Asia or Chile. He's just gonna go and I guess he's gonna build houses for poor people. That's all he's really told me.
Pretty selfish move. Yeah. You know, I think we needed him a little more than the poor Chileans.
No, that kind of falls in place with the rest of your guys. You guys have a very socially conscious concept to your band. You guys have done stuff for Punks for Monks back in 2002 to raise funds to support political and cultural freedom for the people of Tibet. And just recently, One Shot Left has done some stuff to support the Legion Poppy Fund here in Canada. Any comments on that? We'll go to Chad on that one.
All right. Well, I just think it's how everybody should kind of act. Everybody should be supporting some sort of good cause like that. You know, and us just being brought up in the punk scene and being influenced by bands like Propagandhi and even NOFX and Good Riddance and their political views, we kind of share that with them. And it's just the right thing to do, I think. And if you have the power to actually go and play shows in front of people and get them to support this cause, then may as well go for it.
Now, for people that aren't familiar with your lyrics, I mean, you are very, you're very, very conscious on your lyrics as well. It's not just a sort of a pop-punky type style. Jeff, what do you have to say about how you write your songs?
Oh, well,
no pressure.
I know. No, I think it's, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think it goes on what Chad said. Like, I mean, we have a platform to, you know, to say something. And as much as, I guess, like the band started as like a hobby or something, like, you know, there's lots of kids that take inspiration from the music. So, you know, if we can sort of turn someone on to some, you know, some new ideas that maybe they're not, you know, I guess they're not associated with in mainstream music or whatever, then so be it. So yeah, I mean, yeah, we're privileged to have a lot of people interested in the band, and you know, there's a lot of issues out there that I guess are easy for me to talk about, and I mean, you know, that's my platform.
So you're not here to just entertain, but you're here to enlighten as well?
Wow. I guess so. Like, you know, I guess for myself, there's only so much you can do when you're writing a song or something, and you can take it to that next level. Like, I can just tell someone a story, but, you know, I can tell them a story or maybe, you know, enlighten them on a new idea that maybe they haven't heard from someone else or whatever. So I think especially growing up in Medicine Hat, like, I mean, you know, I think it's a great city to live in and stuff, but, you know, I mean, it's like any small town kind
of,
you know.
The armpit of Alberta.
Yeah.
It's a lot of ignorant people that live there.
Sorry, can you repeat that?
It's a lot of ignorant people that live there.
It definitely has the small town mentality in some cases.
That goes for every city and small town, I think, but it's true. And we just want to let people know that those ideas should be long forgotten, that, you know, it wasn't right to begin with, and that, you know, there's a new idea out there that life can be a lot better for everybody if we just aren't ignorant about things and we accept people for who they are, and just live life to the fullest. I guess. I don't know.
Someone is able to gain insight from something that we might have written, I think that we've accomplished something. You know, people will take it in different ways, but I think it's going to be a positive way. Yeah, and you know, basically they listen to it, and if they can develop their own opinion, I think that's a pretty good thing, you know.
As ours, then all the better. But if they can develop their own, then you know, yeah. So be it.
So you view yourselves as a platform to just sort of give different opinions on what's out there, and not just that one stereotypical idea, and just really give people the chance to think for themselves about their world and about what's going on in their world, and just create the idea for themselves and kind of live by that?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think so. Like, I mean, ultimately it's a lot of work to, if that, like, you know, if that's like the sort of entire outlook of your band, where it's like, these are our ideas, and, you know, we're going to sing about them, we're going to tell you about them or whatever, like, you know, I mean, there's a lot of questions asked all the time and whatever, and, you know, I mean, like, that's not what we're totally about, but,
no.
I mean, you know, I mean, it's a part of it. A lot of the bands that we grew up on, you know, that's what they were about, and obviously, it's a big influence and whatever, so, I mean, we're learning as anyone else is.
Chad, do you have any more to say to that?
I don't want to make it sound that we're trying to force everybody to believe our ideas and stuff, but we're influenced by the stuff growing up, and if people want to take a listen, and if they want to take it for whatever it's worth to them, you know, that's awesome. So, take it or leave it kind of thing, and if you do enjoy it and take it seriously and try and maybe live your life, not by it, but by some sort of boundary, and not, I don't know, limit yourself and look down upon other people and other societies and other races or homosexuals or anything. It's, you know, everyone has a right to be here, and we need to realize that and accept it.
Now, you guys have two major albums out on Meter Records. How have you grown since your initial release in 2000 with Something to Be Reckoned With? What has grown for you? And what are we looking at out there?
Nothing. It's -40 in Calgary
right now, and there's a fucking girl in a bikini that just walked past here, and I'm pretty sure she came from this club called Tantra, which apparently we need to visit right now.
Pretty much we're male chauvinist pigs, actually. Yeah, ixnay everything that we've said.
No, but seriously, like, how you guys have obviously grown since your initial release and from your demos and from the Wet Feet compilation. Where have you gone from that? And I guess what support have you received from Meter Records? And what kind of feeling do you get from that the collective?
I mean, I guess as how we've grown, it's just it's just a natural progression. Like, there's things that we haven't done that obviously we tried to do on the newer records and the newer songs and stuff. You know, I guess when we were writing Something to Be Reckoned With, we were like, I don't know, like 16 young. Years old or whatever,
so
and you know, that was 10 years ago. So I mean, I think it's no different than anyone would, I guess, sort of, you know, change their, well, maybe, no, not change their views, but I mean, just mature in anything that you're gonna do, whether it's like life decisions. For us, it's what we're gonna write about, you know, when it comes to songs.
So basically, you've grown up not just as bandmates, but you know, as lyricists and as musicians and and magicians, because seriously, you guys have pulled some pretty crazy tricks on stage. One serious question here: are you guys still having fun? Are you having fun?
Definitely. We wouldn't be here if we weren't. We wouldn't keep doing it if we weren't having fun. That's why we keep doing it. We're not doing it for the money or not doing it for the glory at all. It's just because we love playing music together, and we'll do it at any cost.
As long as that cost is under $100.
And by money, we mean the money that we've put into it, not anything that we've ever received. Ever.
So this is definitely not a very high-paying occupation, but you guys get something out of it spiritually, and I mean, as artists, you chose this path as artists to create your music and your art and to educate people. And I think people are listening.
I hope people are listening.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. I mean, yeah, you know, there's a, I guess, like, there's the key moments in the last 10 years that kind of stick out. Like, you know, there's kids that come to shows that, I guess, talk about, like, you know, a certain song being, like, kind of like a soundtrack to their, like, a certain sort of portion of their life or something. It's like, oh, man, when I was, like, you know, when I was 16 years old, like, this song of your guys's was, like, the story of my life. Like, that just, it just totally spoke to me. And, like, you know, kids saying, like, you know, to the extent where it's, like, you know, I was going to kill myself. And your guys's song just, like, you know, wow. And it's just, like, I mean, it kind of sounds cliche to say that. Like, it's, like, that you can really move people. But it is, like, it's incredible. And, I mean, that's just, like, that's such a driving force. And, I mean, I don't know. Like, those are the payoffs for sure.
Is that not the power of music, and is that not why you guys just keep continuing, just to reach out to those people that may not have given that second thought, but just to be able to have that soundtrack to their life, and to associate with what you're writing with, and just the power of your music to continue where they're going in their life, and maybe change for positive.
Yeah, totally. Like,
it's a big part of it.
Yeah, like I think, like, Restitution was kind of, as much as it could become, like, a concept album, the concept of the record was that, like, you know, like, a lot of music that is kind of out at this time is, I don't know if I would go so far as to say pointless, but a lot of it seems like, you know, like, there's not a lot of meaning behind it. And, you know, that was sort of our thing. Like, this thing was like, this is our, you know, this is our best attempt at, you know, putting some, you know, some value behind the music that we're writing. Like, you know, like, we're not flashy dressers, you know, we're not like all we have is the music. And, you know, when we're playing, like, it's like, if you don't like the music, there's nothing that you like about our band, because, you know, it's not like we're the, you know, the typical, like, we're not like hot musicians, and, you know, like, I mean we are, but we're, you know,
the girls don't
want, yeah,
don't want,
but you know, that's just not what it's about. And and, you know, like, I know there's bands out there right now that are sort of doing that or whatever, but it's becoming less and less apparent. So that was kind of the whole idea of Restitution. Like, it was like us trying to give back to, like, actually what music, you know, like, what music should be about. It should be about, like, pride, and it should be about, like, you know, your passion. And I mean, it ultimately is about selling records, but it's not, because if you have that sort of, like, genuine, you know, kind of, like, you know, just truthfulness to, like, your music, you're going to sell records. People are going to identify with that. And I think so many bands have sort of lost that. So that was kind of the whole idea. I mean, I think people got it, but obviously, you know, like, we don't obviously have, like, a major label, like, backing us and putting that message out there, but, you know, we're doing as much as we possibly can. And the next record we'll put out is going to be the same sort of thing.
I think a lot of people respect you because you're not trying to be that corporate, you know, here's the next formula for success, and here's the next catchy hook, and here's what you guys are going to dance to. You guys definitely have that message in your music, and just from talking with you guys here and knowing you guys in the past, you definitely have that inner meaning to your artwork. And I think people generally see that and totally respect that, and I think that's why you have the following that you have. What's coming up for One Shot Left? I'll just pose this question to Blair.
Well, we're working on some new material, and, well, hopefully we can start doing some pre-production pretty soon and see what happens. I'm not going to give a specific date as to when we might do another album, but it's hopefully sooner than later. But I think it's sounding like it's, well, in my opinion, it's going to be pretty awesome.
just looking at Corey here, I mean, he's you guys brought him back on because he has played in your group in the past. Not to diss you, Corey, but you're kind of a music whore. How many bands are you in right now?
Well, including One Shot Left, it would be four bands. Most of which are active. I play in a band called DeVille. We have a record coming out probably early next year, 2007. I also play in a band called Inventing the Wheel, which is a similar strain of music, album coming out next year as well. And Fallout Frequency, that contains members of ex-members of Belvedere and Downway. We've been playing for quite a while and have a new record coming out in 07 too. So yeah, it's I'm a busy kid, and but I'm like these guys, you know. I play music not for the fame, not for the fortune. Obviously, you know, playing in Canada, you know, it's hard to come by. But I play just for the love of playing, like self-satisfaction.
Okay, so obviously Corey doesn't have a full-time job, and he is just employed in, like, multiple bands. What do you guys have for side projects, if anything? You know, what keeps you, what gives you a break? And not to diss you, Corey, on that. I don't mean to come off as condescending, I guess, but I am. I am.
I know. That's okay. You're allowed to.
But, no, I mean... Chad, I know you've got something major coming up in your life. How do you think that's going to affect the band?
Well, I don't think it's going to really affect anything that will hurt the band. It's just the progression of life. Like, you get older, and me and my girlfriend in 9 years decided that it was time to buy a house, and we actually just got engaged about a month ago. But she knows my love for the band and the music, and she, I think, shares that love and appreciation for what I'm doing. So whatever comes up, she'll be there to back me up, and yeah, full force.
Right on. And Jeff, I mean, you're not full on with the band all the time. You've got some side projects going on. What else do you dabble in to keep you busy?
I don't know. I think I mean, One Shot Left is always kind of like my, like, it's the pride and joy, and it's, I mean, obviously it's the thing that I wanna see go all the time, and as far as it can go. I mean, I guess, I don't know. Like, with other bands, like, I guess it's just kind of like I'll play with other bands and whatever, and that's fine, but it's always kind of like that thing where it's just like, you know, if it ever comes down to One Shot Left versus anything else, then everyone knows where that sits, and that's fine, so.
One Shot Left's my baby.
Now, Blair, correct me if I'm wrong, but did you, you had something to do with a skate shop down in Medicine Hat?
Yeah, I didn't. I didn't get the support that I had hoped for because, there's someone else who had a monopoly on the brands I needed for kids, and it's really unfortunate. I put too much faith in a lot of these kids thinking that they'd support us, even though they knew full well that pretty much the only other shop in town, the guy was a complete fuckhead, and, people, it just goes to show that integrity just doesn't really matter too much anymore. Maybe I might sound bitter or whatever, but so I've moved on from that and are on to other things.
What kind of other things?
Actually, painting. Not art painting, but house painting.
Yeah. Whatever pays the bills, hey?
That's right.
Anything else you guys have to say? You guys have the mic, open mic right now. This is going out to punkradiocast.com. All the listeners that we have worldwide. We'll start off with Chad.
Oh, I just want to say thanks for letting us do this interview, and we miss you guys. It's been a long time since we've been out there, and we hope to come out there again soon. And also shout out to Scuba Steve from formerly of Wheels on the Bus. I hope you're doing well, and hopefully you can help us book a tour out there sometime. So yeah, we'll see you guys soon. Love you.
Corey, anything else to say? Any shout outs or anything like that?
Well, first I'm going to shout out to you, Chris. You're damn good looking. You're damn good looking, and you have a really good radio voice. I've met some friends along the way in all the bands I played in, and I shout out to every single one of them, especially Quebec. I love Quebec. Oh man, I tell you what. Anyway, we'll go on to the rest of the crowd. Thank you.
We'll pass this on to Jeff now, and it's your time.
I don't do a lot of drugs, but I'll tell you what, man, when I hung out with Punk Radio Cast guys, I was as high as I've ever been in my life, and I'm not gonna lie to you, it was pretty amazing. Like, that, it pretty much made me contemplate whether I wanted to become like a hardcore drug user. So, you know, like, thank you guys. It was just an awesome experience. And
what was the final decision on that?
Well, I finally decided no, but you know, next time.
But if you were sitting beside Danny Keyes right now, and he was, you know, passing it to you, what?
I thought you were going to say if Danny Keyes was sitting beside me and passing out, because in that case, I would have my hands down his pants. I would just be like, yeah.
Oh, man. It would just be amazing.
I think it's time we pass this back to Blair. Any final shout-outs? Anything else you want to do to,
Danny Keyes?
I kind of want to give Dan shit, actually. The first time that we were on Top 40, and, you know, these are doobie sessions here are, you know, supposed to be confidential and not supposed to be broadcasted, and they're not supposed to talk about that. And I had certain members of my family tuning in actually to listen when he let them in on a little secret about the doobie incident there. And
you do realize this is going to be broadcast again, so if they didn't hear it the first time, they're going to hear it again.
I'm not going to tell my dad's grade 6 class to listen this time, actually. So,
yeah.
You know, we try and be positive role models here to the kids, you know.
It's all for the kids. I guess, just in closing, you guys, if no one has heard of... that's not a good way to say that. If anyone has not heard of One Shot Left, you guys really need to check out this band. I recommend logging on to interpunk.com and checking out the selection of records that are available from the Meter Records collection. For One Shot Left, we've got Something to Be Reckoned With, as well as their new disc, Restitution. And whenever they get around to recording their new one, we'll have that on there too, probably. Yeah.
That'll be called Balls Deep and DannyKeyes.com.
All right, so stay tuned for that. Interpunk.com, One Shot Left. I'm going to thank you guys. Any final shout-outs before we turn this thing off?
Just thanks to all the bands that we've toured with for the past 9 years, almost 10 years. We've had a lot of fun, and we made a lot of really good friends, and we hope to continue doing that and seeing you guys again very soon.
Jeff?
This is what I want to do right now. We got Mr. Dean Rudd in our wicked van right now, and
what's the name of your van?
His name's Warren.
Has Warren given you any problems in the past?
Yeah, Warren's given us a bunch of problems, but we forgave him. And well, yeah.
15 years,
yeah.
We're a little rough.
There's a lot of times when I told Warren I never really want to see him again, but I was lying. I want to see Warren, and he's here with us now. He's fucking awesome.
He's in the family.
Yeah, he's good. He shakes a bit, but it's cool. He's got arthritis, whatever. So Dean's with us. He's hanging out in the back right now, and Dean's been with us from pretty much the start of the band.
And Dean is?
Dean is the head honcho of Meter Records. It's the only label we've ever been on, and it's probably going to be the only label we're ever on. I kind of want Dean to talk about what he sees in One Shot Left and why he made the decision to stick with us through all these years.
Yeah, Dean's been hiding in the back. Let's see if we can get a comment from Dean here.
Hey. to be honest, back when I first got a One Shot Left demo tape, what I heard were, a bunch of young, great musicians that I guess thought along the same lines as the company that I wanted to get going to sort of foster new rock music. And yeah, the things that basically that stood out were, the fact that as young guys, what they were doing was pretty advanced already, and I guess musically and ideologically, they were tackling social issues that, at that age, most kids aren't even thinking about. They're too concerned about, you know, what kind of cologne they're gonna wear or whatever.
Get paid.
Yeah, exactly. So, I saw in One Shot Left, a bunch of young guys who cared about making music and about their audience, and that's still who they are, and that's the reason that, you know, I want to be involved with them. Yeah, I guess thanks, guys. It's like three in the morning after the show, and you know, I've done tours with these guys before, and it's always a pleasure to be here in Warren with the guys hanging out. And yeah, you know, even if that's all that running the label was ever about, it'd be worth it. So yeah, did I answer those questions properly? I'm not even sure, it's pretty late.
I just want to thank you guys for putting up with me, and as Dean put it, at 3 a.m, giving me such a nice little interview here. Anything else before we turn this off?
Say hi to all the quality dudes back at Punk Radio Cast. Hopefully we'll be back out there sometime in the near future.
It's really about four words: balls deep, Dan and Keys.
I never met the guys from Punk Radio Cast, but I hope to meet them soon.
Yeah, just yeah, thanks to you, Bernie. Yeah, it's been an honor hanging out with you tonight and doing this interview with you.
All right. Thank you very much, guys. Just going to throw this back to Danny Balls Deep Keys and Jenna Jameson. Thanks for giving me some time to bring the western side of Canada's punk rock scene out to everybody here on punkradiocast.com. Rock on, guys. Thanks. Fucking A.